John Richards, Reel One. So if I could ask you first of all, John, something about your family background. This would be in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Before the war, as you were growing up. Could
yes.
you tell me about it? Your parents, for instance.
My father was, his name was Max. He was of Jewish parentage. My mother's name was Caroline. She was of half Jewish parentage. Her father was a Jew and her mother was a Catholic. My father was born in Vienna, in Hungary, in a place called Lute. My mother was born in Vienna. My father's parents were more or less strict Jews. He had his own business till the year, my grandfather had his own business till the year 1933. Till, as far as I can remember, it was the year when they killed Dr. Dolphus. I think it was just at the same time when Hitler took power in Germany, but also the Nazis were at the head at that time in Vienna. And I remember hearing him on the wireless, and the Dr. Dolphus was killed. We were first living with my father's, my mother's parents, on a Karlbusstraße in Vienna. My grandmother was not a tailoress, they call a lady that makes corsets and things.
A seamstress.
A seamstress. I told her, yes, my grandmother was a seamstress. And my grandfather was one of the apples that you see in Vienna. I would remember, I used to sing a little song. And so I go back on this, it may often come to my mind. When we first lived there, in order to we got one of these flats, council flats, one of the state flats, we got in council houses in England, down near the Prater in a place called Ellerstrasse. And we moved down there because we got overcrowded where my grandmother lived. But then a small flat, a large bedroom, a small bedroom, a kitchen, a passageway and a toilet, and a balcony. On this particular day, I remember when, as I said, when this, I don't know when it was a revolution, but when the Nazis tried to take over in 43, we were there, and I was looking out the window. I got up in the morning, I was looking out the window, had the window wide open, and somebody shouted for me down the road. I saw a man in a uniform. Shut this window or we'll shoot at you. Now this was, I believe, either the Austrian police or the Austrian army, I don't know. But I think they were rather worried because at that time Dr. Dolphus had been assassinated, and I think it was a sort of a, I don't know what you want to call it, like an uprising against the present regime. And then a few days after, I think Dr. Schuschnigg got made president of Austria. Up to then, things were pretty well. I remember my father going to work in his own father's shop. And, but as I said, soon after this uprising, my grandfather lost his business because there was this anti-Semitism out in Vienna at that time, this against the Jews. Up to the period of time, we weren't too bad, my sister, my brother and I. My brother, soon after that, was sent away to a training school to learn a profession, which was he became a master builder. My sister and I went to the local school, and things weren't too bad. I'm going back to 36 now, because there wasn't much in between then. It was Mother's Day. Both my sister and I went out for the walks or what have you. And I suddenly remembered it was Mother's Day the following day. And that where we lived there was a beautiful large park. They called it the Stanley Park. And there was a big school there. I think in the end we called it the Real Gymnasium. And they had some lovely lilac trees there. And my mother used to love lilac blossoms. And both my sister and I, we went to pick some to take to her. But in the morning before we went out, she was fast asleep. She complained of a very bad headache. When we got back towards the evening, we went into the bedroom where she slept, and we couldn't awaken her. So we went upstairs to our godmother, who worked for the post office, Frau Nestor. She came downstairs and sent for the doctor. But my mother was taken off into a hospital, and we both sort of looked. We didn't realise then that would be the last time we saw her. Later on in life, I found out that she had died of TB meningitis. Going back before that, though, I remember I was very ill and was taken to hospital. My father was, because his father lost the business, my father went off as a commercial traveller, but he was also a sort of head waiter in hotels if he couldn't get work. And I became very ill, and I had TB, and I was sent back to my, they had to send for my father. And when I came out of hospital, they sent me on convalescent to the Ostend Tour, because the mountain here was very good for your lungs. I had TB, I discovered later on as I became older. Of course, my sister was still at home, but then when my mother died, both my sister and I were put into this convent at St. Vienna, like an orphanage. Because all this upset didn't help matters much. I became a very nervous child, I would say. But all of a sudden, my father came to visit me, and he had this lady with him, and introduced her as our. That she might become our new mother. Of course, at that time, I don't think I comprehended really. Not a lady in his life. So I asked him what happened to our old mother. And he told me that she had passed away. The date was 2 days before my birthday, on the 3rd of May. Eventually, I asked him that day, when are we coming home to stay with him again? He said, well, I've got to get married first, and then after a period of time we'll come home. Which he did, he got married. Excuse me. And I got married again. And stepmother was very kind to us. She was a lovely lady. And eventually, my little stepbrother was born, called Henry. We used to call him Heine Boy. He was a lovely little chap, and I took to him ever so short, because, of course, stepmother was very kind to me. I think she could see that, because I was a little bit, I wouldn't say hairy, but I was a little lad that got into mischief a lot. And, of course, father was a very disciplinarian, and of course I used to get into trouble a lot when he came home, because my sister used to tittle-tattle on me. To be honest, it didn't bother me at that time, because I knew I was back home and a new father cared, and he didn't want me to get into trouble. Then my brother came home to stay with us, because he'd finished his apprenticeship, and I know, I remember one day he said to me, he said, would you like to come with me? I'm going to see if I can get a job. And I said to him, well, what about going to school? He said, It's all right, he said. I'll sign you one of these. I'll make a letter up for you. A good father's name on it. So off I went. Well, I came home in the evening with him, and his father asked where I'd been. So I said to him, well, I met Fritz in the afternoon, and after I came out from school, I went with him looking for a job. Next day, as I went off to school, I was asked by the headmaster, I was given this note that my brother gave me, and headmaster had a look at it and found it wasn't father's signature, but it was so prominent. The two writings were so completely different. So anyway, I got into trouble for not going to school, for playing hooky. But anyway, things went progress pretty well. We used to go down to the Danube a lot in the summer months. And by the Danube, they have what they call a flood area. In Vienna, they call it the Überschwemmungsgebiet. And a very big place. We used to go there, and to us, it seems like now, when I look back on it, it's like today, and today's, we're not going to see something. We used to go play there and go paddle the Danube on the river's edge, and we had some pleasant days. Then all of a sudden, dark clouds came over the horizon. We went out one morning, my brother and I, we had to go down to the Prater, and we heard these bands going around with this broadcast of this man, Hitler, telling us he's going to give us work and food, and he's going to give the adults work and food, because at the time, yes, Austria, it was a poor nation. There wasn't a lot of work about, because father had to travel away to find work, and he was hardly ever home. And stepmother had to cope with us. And of course with the new baby. But anyway, somebody came up to us and he said to us, well, they had this little badge. It looked like a cross, which later on I discovered it was called a swastika, or as they call it in Austria at the time, a hacking cross. Asked us to wear it, and I said, no, I don't want to wear that rubbish. And of course, I got spat upon and kicked and beaten up, and brother sort of tried to defend me, and we ran off and we disappeared into the Prater, and then all of a sudden we saw these young lads with these uniforms on, these armbands on, and going along shouting Heil Hitler. And I said to my brother, I said to him, well, what's going on? And he had to explain to me that these so-called Hitler youths were similar to what we call the Boy Scouts. At that time, it was an organization. Well, little did I think at that time that when eventually they, what they called the Anschluss, when Hitler, he called it the relief of Austria, he called it the Anschluss, and he was telling Austria, he's coming back to his own country, but he wasn't actually, he was invading Austria. And all of a sudden, these uniforms appeared, men in brown uniforms and black uniforms. And father came home at that time, and I explained to him that a certain man that I knew had this uniform on, and he acted like a policeman. So father said to me, well, I can understand why he's doing that, because he's one that I know used to be in jail a lot for burglary. So a lot of these people, I think that first, I think what happened was, the working data, these people that were burglars and prisoners, they were let out by the Nazis, and they were doing a lot of this beating up of the population. It seemed a terrible thing. Mind you, the people who lived with the locals, the friend army, the local friends, although they all wore this swastika and what have you, they weren't too bad. They were good friends of ours. Till the November. And then things really changed very, very drastically. I was asked by my dad to go and meet Uncle, because Uncle was invalid. and he was walking with a walking stick. I think he must have gone, he used to, I don't know whether he'd gone football or not or something, but he had a lame leg. And I used to go, if he was in the area, because they lived in another part of the area, I can't remember the address where they lived at. And I went to meet Uncle, and I said, went to meet him. Yeah, I went past our school, and I went near the synagogue, which was, there was two entrances to our building, to where we lived. We lived in a sort of a, they call it a gemeinde, but it's a council, a place, it's a flats. There were two entrances, one end, and then there was another end. And I went out the end, which leads to the school. And when I went there, I further up past the school, and I suddenly saw all these books being burned in the street. And when I saw these books being burned, I saw the synagogue on fire. I thought, my goodness, what's going on here? And I heard this man calling out. And I saw these young lads and a couple of men dressed in brown uniforms and a couple dressed in black uniforms beating up this chap. And my uncle had a peculiar walking stick. I can always recall the stick. It was a sort of a bone handled one. And the bottom of it was polished, and I saw this stick laying on the floor. And when I saw this stick, I ran forward. And I saw it was my uncle. I was only 11 years of age at that time. But I ran forward to try and help him. I wasn't a brave person. In fact, I didn't even like fighting. I used to run away from fights. But I went forward to try and help him because I realised then I looked up near it was my uncle. And in my way, in those days, we used to wear boots. And I kicked one or two people. And I tried to help my uncle up, but unfortunately, as things were, I got beaten up as well. Anyway, I managed to get my up to his feet. And we both managed to get away somehow. I knew the area pretty well, and we went down some different roads. Although we were chased, we got near, I think it must have been an acquaintance or something. They must have seen what was happening. They opened the door and we went inside, and we were a good distance away. As we got around the corner, we went inside, and the people couldn't see where we went. Anyway, we managed to get away. And I got home rather later than my father expected. And Uncle was with me. And father said to me, as I rang the bell to go indoors, he said, well, I thought I'd ask to meet your uncle. I don't know. My nose was bleeding. I had a couple of swollen eyes. He accused me of fighting. And then when he saw his brother, the way he was battered about, he didn't say too much. When he got me inside, and he realised
this must be difficult for you, John, I do realise.
It was. Yeah, he knew what had happened. And he apologised and put his arms around me. And we managed somehow to get our uncle home to where he lived. At that time, That didn't have his motorbike anymore. Going back again, sorry about that, I keep going back, as these things come to me. When he was working for his dad, when his dad had a shop, my dad used to have a motorbike with a sidecar. And he used to take me and my brother Fritz about quite a lot. Of course, we had to get Uncle home, to his home. And I didn't give it much thought because Friday night we used to spend with grandmother and grandfather. But at that time, when I came out from the orphanage, I didn't see grandfather anymore. I believed while I was in the orphanage, he must have passed away. Because the only person we ever saw then was grandmother.
I was going to ask you, John, you know, growing up, were you growing up in the Jewish faith or in the Catholic?
Actually, I was what they call agnostic at the time. Till 19, just before Mother died, we both got baptised, my sister and I, into the Catholic faith. I've got documents here, I'll show you after. We were both baptised in the Catholic faith, and Fran Nesto, that I was mentioning earlier, who came down, who was our godmother, she's the one that, as I said to you earlier, came down to see to our mother. Excuse me, can you switch off? Sorry. Going back in time a little bit, Friday nights, because grandfather was very strictly Jewish.
So that would be Orthodox, would it, John?
He was Orthodox Jewish, yes. We used to go home to his house, because I always remember the silver candelabras, the gorgeous candelabras they were. And we used to, Friday nights, we used to have this unloved bird, they call it Natsis. Maybe I'm saying it wrong now, it's many years now, but that's what it was called, and we used to have chicken soup with liver dumplings. The proper Jewish food on an evening, Friday night, because Friday night is the Jewish Sabbath, which I think to the only Catholics, some is the Sabbath day, the Jewish Sabbath day is a Friday. They don't work Fridays, that's everything's shut. And we used to go there for our evening meals. But then that stopped for a time because I went to the convent with my sister. And then after we came out and after we, stepmother, we used to go start again. And my stepmother used to go over there. And once or twice a week we used to go and see mothers. My first mother's mother and father on the Traberstrasse, but it was on, I think it was on the third or fourth floor. If I can go a little bit in advance, because I remember going with my wife and daughter, and one of my daughters and one of my sons, Julian, I drove down the car. We went along the Traberstrasse, we couldn't stop, but I showed her where my grandparents used to live, that's mother's grandparents. And I also took my wife, my son, my youngest son, and my oldest daughter, down to, because we stopped with some relations which I didn't know were still alive, down in the Molkenreichstrasse, near the Prater. And we stopped with them in their flat. And we walked around to the place where we used to live. Unfortunately, I don't think my wife was too impressed because she said to me, "It's a very grey and drab place, looking place." But then, when you think the year that it's been there, and it's those grey buildings, I think the weather has deteriorated. Anyway, to go back, to come forward again, we went... Sorry, I've forgotten my...
Yes, it's the... Your stepmother, was she Jewish?
Yes, my stepmother was born, yes, that's right, my stepmother was born in Poland. in a place called... Can you switch off a little bit? Tonya Krakow. It's Lemberg. That's how she was called. She was born in a place called Lemberg, near Krakow. I never saw where she was born. I have been to Poland since. But I never saw the place. Well, we were on a special on a coach tour, so we never got to that place. But we were in Poland, which I'll come to later on.
Did that mean you came under more Jewish influence when your father, who was Jewish, married a Jewish lady?
Well, no, we didn't. To be honest, although we were baptized in the Catholic faith, I don't think we were what they call practicing Catholics. Because I think I felt more under the, I myself felt more under the Jewish influence. And I think this in later life, which I will come to later, sort of showed itself, because I wasn't one for going to church, especially when one is forced to go to church.
Yes, I'll ask you about that later on, John, when we come to England.
As I said, Heinegger was born. Henry was born, and going back to the Kristallnacht, that's it, that same evening, after all this hullabaloo, some woman came knocking on our flat, knocking on the door, and ringing the bell, rather impatient, if I can remember that. She said, "Come on, you've got to get out of here. You're Jews. We want this flat. An Aryan." I said, "What do you mean you want this flat?" He said, "You can't take this flat over. There's a council flat." And she pulled this letter out, some document, which got her forwarded, and the council would kick us out. So, I'll give you 24 hours. When you burn your house, you're out. So, of course, this was about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening after we got back, taking Uncle Arnold to his home. Of course, which meant my father had to go out trying to find somewhere else for me, trying to get transport for the next morning, because we had 24 hours to get out. So eventually, he found a flat, still in the second district of Vienna, not far from where grandmother lived, a place called Speergasse, which was the last address. Luckily, my father managed to get, he came home late that night, ever so late, and he had it all laid on. Of course, we spent the night, we didn't get much sleep, because we had to spend the night packing everything, getting the furniture, because everything was wooden floors, like a parquet, these polished parquet floors. All we had is mats. We didn't have carpet in those days, which wasn't a thing for carpets. So, of course, we had to pack everything up, the belongings, and next morning, this lorry turned up. We had to load it all up. Of course, there wasn't room for any of us, so we had to walk to where we had lived, which was the other side of Vienna. Well, not the other side, same district, but, quite a distance away.